Okay, it's been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Havlicek to approve the meeting minutes of September 27th. Any discussion or changes to those? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, we approve the meeting minutes from that day. Is there any amendment to today's meeting agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve today's meeting agenda.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Flint to approve today's meeting agenda. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the agenda is set. And we have public hearings and bid awards. There's two public hearings today and two bid awards. Public hearing on Ordinance 2013-14, Banking, Investment, and Collateralization Policies, and that's the short title. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to get in on the public hearing on this ordinance? Seeing none, we'll move to the next public hearing, and that's on Ordinance 2013-15, Business Taxes, Licenses, and Regulations, including Alcoholic Beverages and Itinerant Merchants. Anybody in the audience speak to that? Seeing none, those public hearings are closed. And now we're looking for award of 2-year janitorial contract, and there was two bids. And the recommendation on the janitorial contract award, an invitation for bids to provide janitorial services for numerous borough facilities from November 1st of 2013 through October 30th of 2015 was advertised in the Petersburg Pilot on August 29th, September 5th. Bids were received and opened at noon on September 19th. There was two bids received, Apex Janitorial, an amount of $99,120, and Weller's Janitorial Services. The annual contract bid was $87,636. And from the city manager, he requests that the assembly formally award the 2-year janitorial contract to Weller Janitorial Services, an amount not to exceed $87,636. So I'd entertain a motion to that effect.
So move.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to award this bid to Weller's Janitorial Services. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Smart.
Yes.
Brady?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Dan Havlicek?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that passes 6-0. The next bid, oh, this is one of those sideways on the page. I'm having trouble with this, so. Okay, it's for the Rasmus Inge Bridge materials. And they're recommending that it be awarded to the low bidder, the Mill Incorporated, and that bid was. Total bid price was $68,770. And there was three other bidders. There was Hammer Wecon, Impact Company, and Pack Rim. So, they were all substantially higher. So this, I believe, is Chris Cotta's recommendation to the manager.
So, I move we accept.
Okay.
Second.
Been moved by Member Logadakis, seconded by Member Flint to award the bid for the Rasmus Inge Bridge materials to the Mill Incorporated. All those in favor, our clerk call the roll, please.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
John Hogue?
Yes.
And John Havlicek?
Yes.
Okay, it passes 6-0. Okay, is there any visitors' views today related to the agenda? Would you like to speak to that now or when the item comes up? Yeah. Well, you can do it now if you want. You know the drill and chair. State your name and who you represent.
My name is Suzanne West, and I'm speaking to item 13F, reviews of harbor and port advisory boards. And I'm speaking to the harbor. And I'm also speaking for Ed Wood, who's out hunting at the moment and unable to be here. And both of us have spoken to various harbor advisory board members over time, and it's a more open, comfortable way to sort of air your grievances or approval of current things going on in the harbor. And then it's also a sounding so that the harbor advisory board member can let you know if you're not tuned into what's correct or the latest. And so we support keeping that harbor advisory board, because otherwise you may have tens of fleet owner coming to your meetings and speaking their piece.
Thank you. Okay, is there any other visitors' views related to the agenda today? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item. Any visitors' views unrelated to today's agenda? Okay.
Suzanne West, and I'm speaking to the subject of the potential for DOT spraying of herbicides along Metcalf Highway. And it's been an assembly topic, but we've been out of town, so we've sort of heard what the discussion has been after the fact. And I live at 6.5 mile, and we have water rights for our property, and they're issued by the state of Alaska. It's for domestic use. These were issued back in 1970, and it was in force since 62. And so this particular stream is on the uphill side of Metcalf Highway, transits underneath Metcalf Highway on the downhill side. So we would have the double whammy of double spraying. So we use this water, as do our neighbors. They have streams also. So there's household use where you're doing your dishes, laundry, showers, watering your vegetable gardens, all that sort of thing, adding it to your coffee for morning coffee. And so this is very real for us. It is a concern. And we do have berries that are growing on our property that's on the downhill side of the highway. So that would sort of truncate using those berries. And our neighbors also do berry picking along the highway and their own properties. So this is a public safety thing for us. And we do have septic tanks that go out into the narrows, so whatever went through our system, I realize, would be parts per whatever zillion, but collectively it would add to the crab and all that is harvested in the narrows. So let's see. And then secondly, not human, but deer and all the migrating birds come through, and I'm sure this has been said by other people that may have testified, but we do have a lot of deer transiting through our yard, so they'd be munching as well. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Okay, is there any other visitors' views today unrelated to the agenda? Okay. Seeing none, that brings us to board, commission, and committee reports. Yes, sir?
I could just give a brief report on the sales tax committee.
Sure.
We will be meeting again October 30th at noon in this assembly chambers. And on the agenda this month is going to be the whole ordinance up to the list of exemptions, just to go through all that wording and see if any changes are needed. And it's open to the public. Everyone's welcome.
Okay.
Thank I'm you. Sorry. So what time is that?
Noon.
Thank you. 30th.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I believe that's a Wednesday.
Yes.
Yep.
I'll write that down, too.
Okay. Jason Anderson from the Forest Service is going to be our district ranger to talk about the Forest Service's use of herbicides, and he's probably furloughed, or I know he's the only one in the office, but he's probably busy, so that must be why he's not here today. Has he contacted you at all, Steve? Okay.
He told me if that happened, he wouldn't be here this meeting, but he'd probably be here next meeting if Congress does their job.
Hopefully, they're all working by then.
Yeah.
Such an optimist.
I see no items on the consent agenda, so that brings us to report of other officers, and Public Works Director has a report for us today. And 1 minute before you get started, Carl, I'd just like, for the record, Representative Christ Tompkins just came into the room, so welcome to our meeting. Okay, Carl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. In the packet was included a report, a pretty detailed report on recycling in Petersburg that discusses the history of recycling as well as the impacts of the recent contract renewal with Republic Services that was facilitated by the CSWA, the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority, and the opportunity that gives us in Petersburg to start planning for a bigger, a more effective recycling program. The fact is that as we pay for solid waste disposal, the more recycling we can do, the lower our costs will be in the long term. So that stabilizes our local costs and is better for the community and the environment as a whole. Co-mingled recycling is the best way, in my opinion, to increase local recycling rates dramatically over what we're doing right now. Our current effort of 10.5% recycling rate is just not going to cut it as far as stabilizing costs in the long run. The opportunity is there to increase that dramatically with a co-mingled system. In that report, we talk about the trial that was done this last summer. It was very successful. The people that participated in that really did see the benefits of that commingled system. It was easy for them to do, which is a big part of increasing recycling rates as well. Making it simple, easily understood, helps people do the right thing and sign up for the program. So today, instead of going page by page through the report and making a presentation on that, I basically wanted to talk about the recommendations of that report briefly and then talk about the proposed implementation schedule that was also in your packet so that we can start the process of educating the public and get comments and feedback from the community before we take the step. Because this is actually a pretty significant step for Petersburg to change to this type of system. So with that in mind, I just wanted to briefly go down the list of recommendations from the report for the record and then go over the implementation schedule and then open the floor to questions from the Assembly. So the recommendations, and again, this is all focused on trying to increase our local recycling rate. A near-term program goal of developing a curbside commingled recycling system that includes commercial and residential customers in Petersburg and utilizes a bag system that folks, residences and businesses would utilize bags to put their commingled stream, commingled materials in one bag, set it out by the curb for collection by a contractor. The businesses, larger businesses and harbor would use the borough's infrastructure, our trucks and our dumpsters to insert or deposit commingled recycles, and we'd be picked up by the borough. A long-term goal would be to transition to a cart system like most of the nation utilizes. The cart system versus bags, I've been going back and forth a lot in my office on the pros and cons to each one of those. The carts force us to use automated collection trucks, which is a large expense. Contractors here in town don't have that infrastructure. And so it pretty much would take the contractor out of the equation if we went to carts. The bags keep the contractor involved and also decrease initial capital costs quite a bit. The reason I'm recommending that we go with bags first is to try to develop that customer base. I'm not recommending that we go to a mandatory recycling system, that we force people to recycle. We want people to make that choice. There are incentives that make that choice pretty clear that I'll talk about in a minute. But the short-term goal of getting into the program and ramping up that diversion rate in town in Petersburg is important. And if that doesn't happen, then the capital expense of buying carts and potentially getting another truck or different equipment becomes less feasible. So using the bags to begin with is probably a good start in getting the program ramped up to where we want to see it. The materials that would be included in the commingled stream, and again, this is all your recycling goes in one container and is picked up by a contractor. So we would have all recyclable plastics, with the exception of styrofoam and plastic film, which are bags and cellophane and that kind of things. Food containers would have to be rinsed, and we don't want lids or caps in there. Tin cans would be included, rinsed and with labels removed. Aluminum cans, junk mail, catalogs, phone books, newspaper, magazines, office paper, basically mixed paper would go in the bag as well. We would accept unbroken glass bottles and jars, no window or plate glass. It's just too dangerous for collection personnel. And any cardboard that can be broken down and placed inside of the bag would be accepted too. We don't want cardboard left out in the weather. It decreases the value dramatically. So that would be the stream, and that would be included in the bags or carts later on. Our current contract for collection of recycles ends in March. Before that time, we would develop and issue an RFP for that collection service. Go through a competitive process to see, make sure that our contract is cost effective, and we're paying a good price for our good value, getting good value for that contract. The incentive part of it, our rates as they currently exist provide a lot of incentive for people that have the higher service levels to decrease their service level through recycling. But majority of our customers do in fact maintain the lowest service level. So incentivizing that class of customer is difficult. The recommendation is to increase that baseline rate for 32 gallons 20%, which is $5 and change a month, unless they sign up for the recycling program. So basically anybody that recycles, would their rates would remain the same, still be subject to future increases that are contained in the ordinance for solid waste rates. But the folks that choose not to recycle for whatever reason would then end up paying higher costs that would help fund the program. And the people that are recycling and increasing our diversion rate are doing their part to pay for the system. And the time frame that I've got in the recommendations to implement a program no later than March 31st, 2014, and we'll talk about the schedule here in a couple minutes, but it'd be great to formally adopt a set of recycling rate goals over the next 7 years to basically as a performance standard for ourselves as a community to get to a 30% diversion rate in 3 years, which right now, again, we're at 10.5%. So we've got a lot of room to improve, hopefully hit 40% in 5 years and 50% or greater within 7 years. So it's a long-term plan, but it gives us something to shoot for and in the long run. So those are the basic recommendations from the report. And then in getting there, getting the word out to the citizens and businesses of Petersburg, I'm proposing a schedule that includes a public hearing at the assembly level here, that I would make a more formal presentation of the entire report to the public and to the assembly, and open the floor for questions and comments from the community and from assembly members, of course. taking those comments and feedback from that meeting, then incorporating, if needed, incorporating those comments into the final program that would be brought forward on November 4th, first meeting in November, to the Assembly for consensus sign-off, and that's the direction we're going to go. And possibly that would be the first reading of a sanitation ordinance that implements any recycling incentives that the Assembly supports. And so then at that point we work through the ordinance approval process, which would be a second reading of that incentive ordinance on November 18th, as well as a public hearing on the ordinance at that time. And then first meeting in December, we'd have the third reading of the sanitation ordinance. And if passed, that rate incentive would probably need to be written so that it takes effect whenever the program is rolled out, which, depending on which direction we go, either bags or carts initially, could be as soon as December, January, if bags are fairly easy to get and implement that program. If we go with the cart system, there's a few month lead time to get the carts that we need manufactured and delivered to Petersburg, so that would probably be a spring rollout, but those incentives wouldn't take place until the program was launched. And so if we stick with a contractor, well, regardless of what way we go with the commingled system, there will still be room in our overall recycling system for a contractor to pick up materials from businesses and certain facilities, the post office, for instance. That junk mail will continue to amass there, so we have a need to pay somebody to pick that up. So we would need to draft an RFP depending on what the recycling program was going to look like, and I'm proposing in January to do that. We'll have a much better idea of the final shape of the program at that point, so we'll be able to tailor that RFP at that time, advertise that, and evaluate proposals in March with an award of recycling collection in March before our current contract expires. So, and hopefully we'll transition into a good program and not leave anybody in the lurch waiting for recycles to get picked up. So a lot of words, a lot of information in this report. Does the Assembly have any questions at this time?
Any questions
Mr. Mayor? Thank you. Carl, what about the option of going to the containers right away? You don't seem to push that at all, or
it's a possibility. It's there, and that's why I'm kind of flipping my words in that, you know, which direction we go, because if there's a tremendous push from the community to go directly to carts, then maybe that's the direction we should go. It's like I said, it's if the bags are a low cost to get into right away, we can ramp up that diversion rate in the community, make sure that this is going to work for us before taking that step and spending $80,000 on carts that may or may not work out.
Okay, so you recommend starting with the bags to see if...
I do.
I just had a couple of troubles with the bags. One is they tear easily, so you put something in it that's got an edge, and all of a sudden you've got water in them, and that's the same problem for doing cardboard, is they get a handle around it.
Yes.
Because most other communities that I've seen do a separate cart. And
right.
It seems to work.
That's more common. I found that there were quite a few communities in the nation that do use bags successfully. Uh-huh. And so that, at first, when we just did the trial with bags, it was a novel idea and an easy way to do the trial.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I did more research, I found that, boy, a lot of communities go that way. In fact, Republic Services has a county in Washington that they serve with bags. So I got some information from them. I've ordered some bag samples. There's, of course, many, many different sizes and thicknesses and variations in bags. And it would be my intention to land on a bag that was tough enough to withstand, you know, a sharp edge to some extent, but weak enough to break apart when it gets to the materials recovery facility in Seattle. At the end of this, during the trial, the contractor was actually emptying the recycles out of the bag. With the new system, the service provider said that's not necessary. We can bale the bags. That It does a couple things. It streamlines our process dramatically. We don't have to worry about emptying that stuff on the floor just to bale it. But it does bring up a question of, you know, how difficult is that going to be for a service provider, and is that going to cause us problems down the road? And the answer that I asked that question of the service provider when they offered to let us just keep the material in the bag and bale it that way, and he said, you know, it's not what we really want to see necessarily, but this is where our population, our size, and our small contribution to their overall waste stream and recycling stream works for us, and that our one container every month or two isn't going to make any difference to them whatsoever. So it actually helps us in that way to kind of slide under the radar and do something that's very convenient for us in a program, less convenient for the service provider, but is easily worked into their hundreds of tons a day of recycles. You know, so it's a big question. It's really the question at this point. You know, which direction we're going to go? And I'm recommending the bags mostly because capital costs are low, and we get to try out the system in town, and we can always make that jump to carts later on.
Okay, thanks, Carl.
I actually had a couple questions. One was, and this may be a little bit farther down the line, but are there any plans to put collection sites out the road or in areas where out of immediate areas, you know, residents can access recycling without having to come all the way into town?
It's a really good question, and right now, it's called a drop off mm-hmm. site, and right now we're actually decreasing our drop off sites because they get abused so mm-hmm. horribly. And it's a real problem because you want people to use those sites and have them available to put the right items in there, mm-hmm. but they turn into dumps for everything. And even people that think they're doing the right thing and putting quote-unquote recycles in the container, it's not the right thing. You know, it's right. It's plate glass or it's metal shelving or something like that.
Well, that actually leads to my second point, and this may be careful what you wish for. But when you talked about an RFP for collecting material up at the mailbox, people are always throwing cardboard in those things, and maybe it would be worth addressing that and having some spots where cardboard could be recycled there instead of hoping that people are going to do the right thing, at least work with the behavior.
That's true. And the way that's just collected right now, everything goes into one container, and we haven't had any negative feedback from that. So I think we're okay on that score.
Nancy, you had a question?
Just my biggest concern is weatherproof. The bags, water can get in no matter how careful you are. But don't we have a contract till the end of March?
We do.
So that we could co-mingle in the bags till the end of March and see how dry that office paper. And I also wondered, was there any difference in how much cardboard was taken up to the baler or junk mail at the post office? Did that lessen because people were throwing it away at home? Or
not dramatically, I don't think. I didn't ask that
just
specific question necessarily, but I didn't get any feedback that we saw any huge diversion into the commingled stream from those two commodities.
Okay, thank you.
Carl, you said most of your domestic users use the smaller container. Like 90% or?
I think it's about 80%, I think,
okay.
Is the number that sits in my head.
To me, the only way this really works is if you really get somebody's attention, and I'm wondering if $60 a year is enough of a 2x4 to the head to get people to recycle who don't get it. You know, I think your 20% is pretty low. I'd like to see that like 10 bucks a month or something and make it so that they'll think about it and figure out a way to, hey, put the can here and the paper there, you know. It just boggles my mind.
people that
can't figure out how to recycle.
That's a tough question. You know, what's the right amount of incentive mm-hmm. to get people to choose to do this?
Well, and
it's a very hard question.
You have a big job explaining this, how this really makes a huge difference in utility rates, and I think this is a great way to do it. Have this little carrot there, and but make it a nice big carrot.
Well, at some point, it will definitely be in the assembly's lap to make adjustments. So if we get to that point and the feedback is that the community would like to see that more, or the assembly would like to see that higher, then we can surely do that.
Yeah, no, it's a great program. I think it's a great idea.
John, did you have a question?
Comment to start off, it really hurts me to say that, but I was really, extremely impressed with your report. It was very well organized, very thorough, very well thought out, covered, more aspects than I could imagine that you'd want to cover in a report, but it being on the assembly, it really laid out the pros and cons financially as well as environmentally, and let us know exactly what our costs would be in all areas, which I really, really appreciate in the way you projected everything out. And I really hope this is successful for many reasons, the environment, the cost. And like Sue and the others, I know down south they're using really small cans for garbage and cans at least twice that size for recycling, and it's tough to break habits, but I'm really hoping we can and get people into that recycling mode so it saves the borough money, and again it's good for the environment. The only other question I had is on these bags, which you kind of hinted to. They are sort of recyclable bags. Do you just send them all down south, you don't reuse them, but do they disintegrate, or are they made
to
disintegrate?
No, they will be separated from the majority of the commingled stream in Seattle.
So they're still, like most plastic, just to where they can't...
Republic Services does not have a recycling stream for those bags.
That's what I'm wondering.
But they very well may have. But they already deal with receipt of bag commingled from another county in Washington. Right. And as a company, they've got a huge amount of resources. So if there's a way for those folks to get some money out of even that little tiny fraction of their stream, they're going to do it.
I just hate to create more waste with the bags.
Right.
But I do really appreciate all the work you did on this. It gave me pretty much everything I needed to know to make a good decision, which I really appreciate.
That's good. There's still quite a bit of talking left, but I appreciate your comments.
And the last thing, we're having a lot more cruise boats come in. Will there be any accommodations made for them? I know... when we tried to get the cruise boat waste, they commingled it, so it was really a pain, and we stopped doing it. Is there a way now that you do use commingling, either giving them the bags when they come in, or I imagine they already have stuff bagged up they used to where we can get their waste, because it seems pretty substantial.
We would make them. I haven't really thought of that angle yet, but. I think it's as simple as making them aware of what the program is and accommodating them within the program that's developed. And I think it's definitely a possibility. I believe we take their waste at times now, solid waste.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And so it only stands a reason that offering the recycling system to them is helps us out, too, by not putting all that solid waste through our baler.
Yeah. And I know Dave Berg was really instrumental in trying to get it going before. It's just that... things we weren't ready at that time.
Yeah, we're almost ready.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any more questions from the assembly of Carl?
Thanks for the report, Carl. Now we're looking one more thing.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Is the proposed schedule in the memo acceptable to the assembly?
Well, I was just going to ask the assembly for a motion for consensus of your local recycling recommendations. That's where we're at. Okay, moved by Member Havlicek, seconded by Member Flint to give the Public Works Director permission to move ahead with the recycling recommendations. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Carl.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, that brings us to the Mayor's report. Now the computer's not working, but there's
future items.
Okay, that's very short. Reminder of the Alaska Municipal League Conference, November 18th through the 22nd. To date, I believe Member Logadakis and myself plan on going. John, are you going to go?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Signed up.
All right.
I'd like to attend also, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so there's four of us going. That's great.
That's good.
And the next advisory board review this evening or this afternoon, we're going to talk about the Harbor Board. And the next one will be Parks and Recreation at the October 21st meeting, as well as Public Safety Advisory Board. So that's the schedule. One other thing I would like to report on is over the weekend I went down and went to the christening of the Arctic Prowler in Ketchikan, and it was a real nice affair. The governor was there, and the former governor Frank Murkowski, Senator Stedman, and the Prowler group, and it's rolled out the door yesterday afternoon. The christening was Saturday, or yesterday morning it did, so today it's going in the water. So first boat built in Alaska of its class. It was pretty impressive. So, Glow, do you have?
What does it say on the stern?
Oh, yeah. Hailing port is Petersburg, Alaska. Anyway.
Petersburg, Alaska.
That's where it's from. The rest of his fleet, I believe, says the same. So, that's all for the mayor's report. Now it brings us to the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had over 600 people join the celebrated the grand opening of the library on September 28th. Library Board, Friends of the Library, Library Capital Campaign Committee, Teen Advisory Board, Beat the Odds Committee, Petersburg Indian Association, Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood, Sikh Takwa, dancers from Petersburg in the Kik Squan dancers. Okay, apologize for my pronunciation. All contributed to the event, and special thanks to Facilities Maintenance, Parks and Rec, Public Works, and the library staff themselves for all their help in pulling that together. Mountain View Manor received 100% score on the AHFC inspection. We continue to have a waiting list in both elderly housing and assisted living. Congratulations to Scott Newman, who has taken over Bobby Ratliff's old position as the power and light line foreman. We're also in the middle of our annual street light survey, so people see lights that are out, we support it. We like to try to get notified of them and fixed prior to Halloween. Liz and Leo and others, Glow and myself, we're all working on a draft RFP for the Borough Comprehensive Plan, Economic Development, and Harbor Development Plans. This is something that will be brought back to the Assembly when we get a little farther along in this to make sure it covers what you want it to cover. The Borough's auditor is working on finalizing our annual report. They're currently waiting to complete the hospital and school portion so that their information is appropriate and included in our report as well. The assessor is still kind of in and out of town inspecting properties throughout the borough. They expect to have all the physical inspections completed within a day or two. Now just pulling data together. The Granicus, which is our system that records everything, registrar is the position that I'm using it as we speak, getting much better thanks to Kathy and folks. First, we've worked most of the bugs out. We're looking at probably 60 to 90 days to really finish everything up and make sure it works really, really well for everybody who has to use the product. Sandy Beach Shelter continues to progress. The large base logs are completed. Side logs and roof construction will take place through the fall. And the police department, this is why I can't use this. I'm not working?
Yes.
Okay. We had a couple of employees, the officers go through the breath analysis to get certified on making sure we know what we're doing on the use of the equipment. Also, Alice Williams and Angel Warhatch attended the post-suicide intervention training with Petersburg Mental Health. Kelly and I met with Corey Wall of MRV Architects to begin the process of analyzing whether the existing space in the municipal complex can be remodeled to meet all of our needs. We have another meeting scheduled for the week of October 21st, where Corey and a gentleman by the name of Bill Rutherford, who is an expert on police buildings that is contracting with MRV, will be in town, and they'll most of the work will be with Kelly and his staff to talk about, you know, what do we need in the building and what are the space requirements, so then they can come away and say, okay, can we actually fit it in here? And again, we'd bring that back to the assembly to say, okay, when we get to that point, here's what we think can be done. We're hoping that we would have a cost that we could be pretty firm with the legislature by December. So, police department had over 509 calls for service in September. So it was a busy summer for our folks. Carl's received word from Alaska DOT that a crosswalk will be installed at 2nd and Haugen as part of the Haugen Drive Rehabilitation Project scheduled for 2015. This is a concern of ours. We're seeing with the library, lots of traffic. We'll keep asking if there's anything that could be done between now and then, but unfortunately at this point it looks like it's 2015 before we'll have an official crosswalk there. The water plant staff will be performing a temporary repair to the City Creek Dam to address some erosion on the spillway. More permanent repair will be required in the spring, and full-scale rehabilitation projects being mandated by the engineers in the state of Alaska. We do not have costs at this time. This is a pretty big deal that we're going to have to get some better numbers and better information on pretty soon. Landfill facility received a 94% score on the facility inspection. Congratulations to Andy Edfeld and the sanitation crew for doing a really good job up there. It's hard to get good scores on landfills. And I'll say something and I'll let Carl add it in, but the landfill slope project is part of what we're doing with the dredge spoils. It's been tough. The material that's being delivered is in poor condition from what we expected. We've built some containment berms to keep the stuff in place so that it can kind of dewater. Problem is, this is the wrong time of year to try to dewater something. So Carl's staff, P&D, the contractor, are all kind of monitoring it to make sure that we're doing everything we need to do with our permit. But it's kind of the big issue is cost of what it's going to cost to finish this, and then long term going back and putting these spoils where we originally had wanted them to be, because they're not really there right now. And we're going to have to see how that works. Part of that issue is we don't know how long it's going to take this stuff to dry out well enough to be placed on the slope. But Carl, you have anything to add on that one?
Not much. It's a tough project right now. The dredging contractor did slow down this weekend, from what I understand, just because they were getting close to the end of the dredging in the North Harbor Basin. So there wasn't a lot of pressure on the landfill this weekend, but there will be, you know, as the dredging starts in front of PFI and Ocean Beauty, there will be more material heading up the hill. And I think at this point we feel confident that we can handle it, but the nature of the material is just so unpredictable and unexpected that it's troubling for sure. At this time, I basically cut off the contractor from hauling rock to try and stop that expense, thinking that we have enough material on site to build what we need. But if that turns out to not be the case, then we'll have to access some more rock in the quarry and build up our containment.
While we're on the subject, any questions by any assembly members of Carl or the manager on this? I've got one question, I guess, Carl. How, percentage-wise, how far along are we on removing the dredge spoils from the harbor? I know we're done basically with they had it in five areas, areas one and two. Is that 20, 40, 50% of the total dredge spoils? Or
Glo can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're about 50%. Is that about right?
Over 50.
Over 50% done with the dredging?
We went through this morning, Mr. Mayor, and Dave surveyed yesterday, and we today they're just working on a few high spots, and then they're pretty much done. They're ready to submit their final survey of Area 1 and 2. So that is well over half of that will end up at the landfill. So now they have Area 3, which is in front of Ocean Beauty, and Area 4 and 5, which is Icicle.
Okay, thanks. That's the only questions I had.
As you heard a little bit of it, the North Harbor project continues to progress real well. We had an on-site inspection by the core project team leaders, and they feel the project is progressing well. It is expected the harbor will be turned back over to the construction contractor on November 1st, as the contract specifies, and that's still holding true. We do have some concerns with the whole government shutdown. Sounds like our inspector is still on the payroll, but her staff is gone, or
nope, they actually, they're still all in line, and
right.
Yep, they're essential.
We keep getting updates from our folks in Washington, our lobbyists, and we're never exactly sure how does that translate to the field. Middle and South Harbor continue to stay busy dealing with the end of the salmon season and crab and shrimp season beginning. Harbor staff has been able to keep up with the vessels looking for winter moorage as the summer users begin to pull out. Junior firefighting program began on September 30th. We have 8 participants, including my daughter. Fire Prevention Week is October 6th through the 12th. Many of the volunteers will be doing the Learn Not to Burn program for the kindergarten through 5th grade kids this week. It's also a good time for everyone in town to check their smoke detectors and change out batteries. I remember that. And Fire Chief Weldy and Sandy visited the fish processing plants on October 1st with members of the Southeast Alaska Hazmat Response Teams. In a couple of weeks, some members of their team will actually return to Petersburg to provide some training for the volunteers. And basically, the goal is to prepare everyone in the event of a large ammonia release or other hazmat-type event, that our folks have a little bit of training on how to handle that. And that's it, unless you have questions for me.
Mr. Haberlick.
Stephen, maybe this is more for the chief. The 509 calls seems huge, even for Petersburg high, summertime. How would you rate those calls as, as severe, moderate, or nuisance? Because 509 in a month seems pretty high.
Well, let me just start by saying the number you usually get is for a 2-week period. We had some changes in the meeting schedule because of individual schedules. It is up a little bit. The majority of those are nuisance type calls, or there's a lot of public assistance type calls. We haven't seen a spike in significant calls during the month, just an overall increase in volume. Does that answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Nancy?
I'm wondering why DOT is having such a problem painting lines on the highway.
Carl, can you? I don't even know how to answer it. I agree with you.
Mr. Manager, I'm not really sure how to answer that either. It seems like a pretty simple process. There is a crosswalk at 3rd Street that the lines are faded on that need to be repainted. It would seem if they had the paint out to do 3rd Street, they could do 2nd Street at the same time and just get it over with. But there are liabilities associated with crosswalks, and so if anything I've learned about DOT, they're very concerned about liabilities, and they often don't do things when faced with tough decisions like that.
If I may, and be clear, we can't go paint on their road. Just we even talked about that. And
even under cover of darkness?
Well, I'm sitting right next to an attorney. I have all the help I need. I have one more observation to make about that. If they're going to put that crosswalk in the plans, perhaps we should push for them to put the crosswalks at 1st and 2nd and 3rd, all three of them in the plans for 2015. because there's going to be increased traffic on all three of those intersections.
There is plans to keep the one on 3rd as well and then put one on 2nd when they do Hog and Drive, Carl?
Mr. Mayor, I'm not really sure exactly what the plan is. They're in the design process. They started work on the design for Hog and Drive. Other issues came up that were actually construction projects for this year. So they shelved the Hog and Drive project for a while because it's not for another year and a half, 2 years. And so they're just picking it back up now. I haven't seen a design. All I've gotten was acknowledgement that there's a problem at 2nd Street. They want to put a crosswalk there within that project at a minimum. But the discussion hasn't carried over into other area potential for crosswalks on Hog and Drive.
Okay, thank you. Any more discussion on the crosswalk issue? Sounds like DOT has been contacted and not going to do anything. Maybe if we wrote a letter to our representatives and senator and asked them to encourage DOT to move a little faster on the crosswalk painting.
Well, Mr. Mayor, for the people that have been, that I have contacted at DOT are basically just the pre-construction managers. They're focused on that project, not necessarily with the operation and maintenance of Hog and Drive. So maybe a shift in contact here is warranted, and I'll go to a different person in a different area of DOT and see if I can get any headway. But a letter to the commissioner or somebody else might do a lot of good.
It might be worthwhile. And a question for the chief on this subject. I feel it's necessary with the new library there. Do you feel it's necessary as well for another?
I think it would help a whole lot.
Okay.
There's a lot of kids that traverse that in the morning and the afternoons coming back from school. The increased traffic in the library, I think it makes sense, especially with the reduced visibility from some of the parking problems along Haugen.
All right, thanks. So, you write a letter, Carl? Is that okay with the manager, Carl Fretzler?
Yes.
Okay, so that's in response to the manager's report. Any other questions of the manager, Mr. Hope?
Question for the chief. How many of the officers are certified in breath testing? Or all of them? Or
8 of the 9.
Okay.
We've got one outstanding.
Okay, good. Thank you. And
okay.
Question for the manager. When will we start getting a handle on cost overrun based on the landfill slope project?
Carl, have we got anything from Rockin' Road yet?
Right now, we don't have a cost overrun. We're above what the bid schedule was. We're still within our budget for the project. There is going to be some trade-offs in the fact that we budgeted for a certain number of operating days at the landfill for the contractor to spread those spoils, and we're well under that budget item right now. So there's some trade-off. It's really hard to say where we're going to end up at the end of this project, but the contractor is working on a pay request right now, so we'll get a little better handle on where we sit in the budget in the very near future. I'll definitely forward that information to Steve.
Thanks.
Any more questions of the manager or Carl? Okay, that brings us to unfinished business, and the first item is ordinances for third and final reading, and there's one, and that's Ordinance 2013-13, an ordinance providing for Title I of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation as amended by the attorney, and this is for the third and final reading. Entertain a motion to adopt 2013-13 in this third and final reading.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand to adopt 2013-13 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? Yes, Nancy.
This may just be on page 46. There's a partial, there's just a phrase, from taking full force and effect. Is it just a typo, or is there something we're missing there?
We'll find it.
Oh, your 46 isn't the electronic 46. Help us out.
112. Right here.
What section is it?
It's right above 1.12.070. And it looks like it's almost a repeat of the last sentence. Oh, the previous sentence right before it.
Considered to be in full force and effect, and then from taking full force and effect.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a typo.
Right here, 46 at the very top, the second little line there.
Do you want to look at this?
I think it's a leftover.
We'll check into that. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think.
Or shall we? Yes.
We could scrap it.
So it should just say that once.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that until actually we get it back in front of us to make sure there's not a whole line missing.
I think it's, yeah, I think it's just an extra one, but I'll compare it to a current reading and just make sure nothing.
Those upon adoption is provided and does not affect the ability, which I don't. I think it's fine the way it's written.
That one, yeah, unless it.
Oh, the from taking, the second from taking,
which
yeah, that's just,
considered
yeah, that's just got
to
be.
Just hesitating to make sure there's not another line somewhere that we're missing.
I think that's just,
we just crossed that off.
Yeah, that's a type.
So, I had a question on the previous page, 45, under section 1.2 or 1.12.040, the last section there. No separate motion shall be entertained for entering an ordinance into the first, second, or third reading.
That's set up by new charter requirement. The Borough Charter says you cannot pass an ordinance in more than one reading.
Is that what that's saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wasn't clear. Okay, so it has to have three separate votes and times. Okay.
Which I thought was a good idea when we were going through the borough transition.
Yeah,
and it was three separate meetings.
Yeah.
No second and third in the same.
Yeah, just second and third.
A lot.
Yeah.
This was a way to try to give it enough time that folks who aren't here in service area would have a better opportunity to come in and weigh in if necessary.
So is everybody satisfied with just striking the one extra four or five letters, or we're going to have the vote on and have the clerk look into it, or do you feel we should wait and have her look into it and then
strike and go forward?
It just needed it clarified.
Okay. Any more discussion on ordinance 2013-13? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
John Heberlett.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
And
yes.
Okay, it passes 6-0 in its third and final reading. Now we're on to ordinances for their second reading, and the first one of the two is ordinance 2013-14, an ordinance providing for Chapter 4.36 of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. I would entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Member Havlicek, seconded by Member Flint, to adopt Ordinance 2013-14 in its second reading. Discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Cole.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
John Havlicek.
Yes.
Passes 6-0. Now that moves us on to Ordinance 2013-15, an ordinance providing for Title VI of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Havlicek, seconded by Member Strand, to adopt Ordinance 2013-15 in its second reading. Any discussion?
I'd just like to make an observation.
Okay.
604090. It is unlawful for any licensee to permit the use of loud, vulgar, or obscene language in any licensed premises. They've altered it to remove rude, which I guess makes their job a little easier. I just wanted to make the observation.
Okay. And once again, all of these have been gone over by the borough attorney, so. Relying on Mr. Brennan's and Sarah's opinion as well. So, any more discussion on Ordinance 2013-15?
Mr. Mayor, I just had a quick clarification, and I don't know if it's under the definitions that would answer that on page 62. The itinerant merchants, you know, you notice every so often people come through town and want to oil your driveway or sell meat or, you know, whatever, and we don't seem to do we require them to have a license and pay taxes to do that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they I'm sorry, Joey, that's what I was wondering. How do people know to register with the borough to before they're allowed to do that? Because they seem a little fly by night.
Well, yes, they usually are. Sometimes they come directly into the borough, and sometimes we get a few phone calls and have to send a police officer to find them and tell them they need to come visit us. This rewrite of this ordinance addresses this a little bit more. Now they're people that go door to door. There's actually, they're going to have a photo ID from us, from my department. And if I have any questions or anything, I'll have the discretion to request the police department to investigate the applicant. And also, we're limiting the hours that they can go door to door from before there wasn't a time limit, and now it's going to be 8 to 6. There was actually conversation going on when we were rewriting this, perhaps. The borough doesn't want door-to-door. This is the place to decide. We just decided not to do anything too drastic and to set some more guidelines. And also, part of the rewrite of this is if you don't want someone coming to your house, you can put a no soliciting sign in your window and they should not come and visit you. We get a few calls from elderly, you know, that are concerned when a stranger comes and visits them at, you know, 8 in the morning. It's, yeah.
Is there a way that this can be, some of these can be highlighted and published every so often in the paper so people know to, if someone comes to their door, if they try to sell them something, that they know they're to call the...
Identification.
Call
you, right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. After the third reading, we can put something in the paper.
Okay. Thank you.
That addresses this.
Nancy, you had a...
Just a question. Does this include buskers? People who play music on the street?
No.
Huh?
No. Are they selling you something?
Well, they have their hat out in front of accepting donations.
You've got all sorts of legal issues trying to regulate that stuff.
I know.
To answer your question, this does not regulate that.
Do we need to put in here that they aren't regulated, or are we just going to ignore it?
I don't know that we've ever had that problem. That maybe have we?
We'd probably be in a different ordinance rather than itinerant merchants or solicitors, but panhandling ordinance or
well, it does say recognize nonprofits and school children, but
we made an exception
for fundraising.
The assumption was the community was okay if the Girl Scouts wanted to come knock on your door and sell you cookies or something like that. So this, we're not making them get a permit. So recognize nonprofits and school kids, we're not telling them they have to go do that.
Would something, yes, Sam?
I had a question just to make sure that it does not cover somebody who does a temporary business, for example, at Oktoberfest or at the PFI Christmas sale, because it appears that it covers them.
No, and that's an exemption in the sales tax code.
Okay.
It's a one-time only sales.
Okay.
They're exempt from.
Well, it does say garage sales held by individuals selling their personal belongings.
And that was my other question. On mine, it looks like that struck out, and I wasn't sure if that was the case.
No, there's no line through it. It looks to me like it's an added.
No, that's an addition.
Okay.
Let's get the recognition and talk in order so we're not talking over one another, please. So, Cindy, would you like to talk about the garage sales held by individuals? It looks like that's been taken out of it, if I'm reading this right.
That's how it looked like to me, and I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, my computerized version shows that the garage sales held by individuals is an exemption. It is not covered by a term itinerant merchants.
Correct.
Okay, it does not
correct.
Okay. It's slow
My laptop or iPad right now is acting kind of slow. It's just down to 4G. I don't have Wi-Fi for some reason. I might have pushed the wrong button. But so I'm going by the paper version because it takes too long to drum up the detailed addition here on the side. So that is part of it. This does not include garage sales held by individuals. Is that right, Jody?
That's correct.
Okay. Any more discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
John Haberlick.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2013-15 passes 6-0 on its second reading.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I was just curious how we're doing on these ordinances. Are we getting through them, or is this...
You
got a long way to go.
Okay. The book was this thick.
Okay. Well, if I may, an example of how complex some of them can be. You know, Kelly's working with Leo and Ryan on, you know, nuisance, code enforcement type things. And you have issues related to state law versus local. What do we want? And how do you... You know, who handles it if you have it a local ordinance? Do you have a board or a court? Or so a lot of this stuff ends up taking quite a while because we're debating among ourselves as far as trying to find out, you know, what's it better? Is it we want a civil penalty versus a criminal one? Who's going to enforce it? Does it change staffing? Does it change what boards do? I have a feeling we'll still be doing this a couple of years from now. That's, I guess, my point.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the Juneau appeal of the borough, Petersburg borough boundaries, and I don't see if there's been any news, has there, Kathy? No, so we're just waiting for a Superior Court judge to make his decision on that hearing we had. Redistricting, I don't think there's any new news, and that brings us to item F, which is the review of Harbors and Port Advisory Board. So from the sounds of the Harbor Board's discussion, that they would like to keep the board in place. So entertain a motion to recommend one way or another.
Just fair.
John.
I'd like to make a motion that we retain the Harbor Board and keep it as an elected board.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Loganakis to keep the Harbor Advisory Board as a seven-member board and to keep it as an elected board. Discussion.
Mr. Mayor, I fully support keeping the Harbor Board. I question whether you want to leave it as an elected board. There are costs associated with this, you know, having them on the ballot. And I would suggest an alternative would be an appointed board. It's an advisory board to the assembly in any event, so I don't see a huge loss of quality coming from that board if you made it an appointed board.
One of the only boards, I think there's only one or two that have a contested race when they're elected, so that as long as there's more people interested in being on the board than there are seats, I think that we should keep it in, elected.
And also, those elections aren't special elections. Those are elected at times when we're already doing an election, so I don't see that it'd be any greater cost to have them elected rather than appointed.
I have a question of the clerk. Kathy, does it cost more to put that on a ballot? Just print up
another? Ballot printing. There might be a few cents to have it kind of had a category or something. It's more of a hassle to the candidate than it is an expense to the borough.
Any more discussion on the Harbor and Ports Advisory Board? Okay, will the clerk call the roll?
To retain the Harbor Board,
that was the motion.
As an elected body.
Seven-member board, yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Hogue.
No.
John Haberlick.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt's not here. Sue.
Yes.
Okay, it passes. The assembly to keep the Harbor Ports Advisory Board
excuse me, as an elected board of 7 members, passed 5-1. Okay, new business. Ordinance number 2013-16, an ordinance providing for Chapter 4.24, entitled Property Tax of the Municipal Code, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation, and updating various functions and dates to meet annual budget deadlines. This is the first reading. I would entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Havlicek, seconded by Member Flint, to adopt Ordinance 2013-16 in its first reading. Any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
John Hulk.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
John Havlicek.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, 2013, the ordinance passes 6-0 in its first reading. Excuse me. That brings us to resolution number 2013-22, a resolution amending the established public notice posting areas for borough business and adding Papke's Landing dock approach area. Entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2013-22.
So moved.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lagadakis, to adopt resolution 2013-22. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
John Havlicek.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2013-22 passes 6-0. Brings us to resolution number 2013-23. It's a resolution requesting the governor and legislature to provide significant funding increases to repair, replace, and maintain transportation modes throughout the state. Entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
I would be happy to make a motion that we adopt that resolution.
Second.
It's been a motion made by Member Lagadakis and seconded by Member Havlicek to adopt resolution 2013-23. Any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
John Havlicek.
Yes.
Okay, it passes. Resolution 2013-23 passes 6-0. And that brings us to approval of budget, proposed budget calendar for fiscal year 14-15 budget process. And this was presented to us by the by Jody, our finance director. So I would entertain a motion to approve this process.
I so move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Havlicek to approve the calendar of the budget process for 14-15. Any discussion? Mr. Hogue?
Mr. Mayor, to me, one of the critical time periods is the April 10th to 30th, where the Assembly has work sessions. Last year this got crammed. I just wanted to be sure that the anticipation is this will be spread out over a number of weeks so that somebody has to meet part of a week that they can, they'll have significant input still.
Jody was
nodding her head. Is that a fisheries opening that would affect you and Kurt?
I don't know about Mr. Walhuter, but I generally am gone from second, third week of March until sometimes May if we get a northern herring fishery, but at least till mid-April. So yes, it would affect me.
Is there a way that it can be adjusted so that it can be here?
I'll probably be here in May. In April, I will be gone. If it's like the season's like last year, I'll be gone until third week in April. So that makes it tough for me to... Jody?
Well, and because the budget needs to be passed in ordinance form, it has to go through 3 readings, mm-hmm. and it has to be approved by state law by June 15th, so it has to be, the first reading has to be on May 5th. So
So we need time prior to that to go over the budget and analyze it.
If I may, the work sessions, as Jody and I were kind of thinking about this, that was the prime example, and it can be done in any way the Assembly wants. But like we did in the previous years, we do, this one will be for the enterprise fund, this one will be for community service, this one will be for general fund. It doesn't have to be done that way. We can do everything all three times, which just is repetitive, folks. But this is kind of your process, is what we're trying to say, is if you want to do them earlier, we can back up the process even further and, you know, put a little pressure on school, hospitals, and other folk and department heads
to get their
proposals. Well, and Mr. Mayor, we already, Steve and I are actually already working on budget projections for next year's budget already, and I'm sure we'll present those well before the month of April, to the Assembly, so you can look at them.
When are you gone again? When do you leave?
Generally about the 20th of March is when we leave to head south for Craig.
Could we use the first 3 weeks in March for the Assembly process? Or is that putting too much pressure
That's
on
too
you?
Early.
Well,
too early.
They don't mail the property assessments aren't mailed out.
Well, the department heads would need to get the budget finished by the end of February then. And that's really, that might be a stretch.
Sue, you
have a call? It looks like you have till April 30th. If you get back, I mean, if you'll know those 2 weeks, you could schedule them in April.
For the latter.
For everybody else, and then know that you'll be here the last 10 days or so of April. So
that might work for this year, and next year, if we get the northern herring, the rolling kelp fishery, I'll be gone till right before Mayfest. So the trouble with having a fisherman on the Assembly,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And this schedule can be, I mean, this is not, the work sessions, again, are for you guys. I mean,
right.
More so than anything, they're for the Assembly to ask questions directly of department heads and other parts of the community that come to the borough for funding. So, you know, the creation of the budget is going to happen, you know, behind the scenes prior to those work sessions. But again, the work sessions can be redesigned, the dates can be changed based on, you know, what the Assembly needs.
Sure.
And,
so,
you also could call in, because you'd have it in your hands, you know, by April 10th. So
yes, I did
don't
that.
I don't think we can do much changing of this.
And one opinion might, you know, I'm sure everybody will have their opinion, but one opinion might not make the whole outcome totally different.
And then there's still the three readings.
Sure, that everybody participates to the maximum extent possible.
Right.
Well, like Sue said, and I called in last year, there's good phone service on the southern end for the fishery, but on the north end there's none, so it's just the nature of the location.
Well,
it may be by then.
Well, why don't you and Steve and Kurt communicate on that, and if we need to do some last minute adjustments of these?
If Kurt isn't involved in the herring fishery tendering, which I don't know if he has been in the past, he may be in town.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's pretty much my schedule, is what I've got. So, any more discussion on the schedule that the finance director has presented to us? The clerk call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John Hamlet?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
John Hull?
Yes.
Okay, that's item 15, communications. Is there any communications today? See none. Assembly discussion items. Sue?
Mr. Mayor, I've got a couple. First of all, it's KFSK's fundraiser week, and I'd like to take a moment to thank KFSK for what they do for us, because they broadcast all our meetings. They have things on their website, and personally what they've done for me is help me be better at my job here. They do a lot of digging and reporting on things a little more in depth and get different sources than I have, so I feel better prepared for meetings. when I come here. So thank you to KFSK. Thank you, Matt. We have a pretty crackerjack news team.
Even if Matt's deserting us.
I know. We were sorry to hear that this morning. Then on a personal note, I would like to thank Petersburg, the Assembly, and the Mayor for the honor and privilege of sitting here for the last 4 years. And I have to step down. November 4th will be my last meeting.
Sorry to hear that, Sue, but I'm sure there's...
Yeah.
Valid reasons for you doing that, and I hope everything's going well.
Yeah. I would like to make one request that I could stay on the sales tax review committee because that's something I feel strongly about and would like to be working on.
Yeah, you could be on all of the
no.
boards.
No, just one.
Second.
This is the 4th of November will be
November
your last?
November 4th, yeah.
All right.
So, I wonder if we should start advertising to get people interested in that position.
We should do it now.
Okay. Yeah. So, Kathy, can you do that? And add the pilot and then maybe on the radio station. So.
Yeah, so we can respect your decision. We don't have to like it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thank you. I have enjoyed this a lot. And people always say, oh, it's a thankless position, but it is not. I've had tons of support. And it's an interesting, fun job most of the time. And we have a great assembly and a great staff. And it's a good time. Be a good time to run and try it till the election in October. Just have 10 months to get your feet wet and see if it's something you'd like to continue to do. So,
I would encourage anybody that's listening to this to put your name in, and maybe we could have enough names in by the second meeting in November. We could have somebody seated. Mr. Haverly.
Mary, I just have a quick question, and I think, unfortunately, I probably already know the answer. Do anyone that's interested in this to be appointed to this position, would they have to fill out all the state paperwork, the financials, and that's okay.
Until we have an election and vote change it.
October.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Cindy.
Two comments. One, I think we should reach out to the folks that applied before and see if they were still interested, especially the out-of-area folks. But I also wanted to acknowledge Petersburg Mental Health Services. I think they extended the invitation to everyone. But I did sit in on their Share Coalition meeting last week, and they had representatives from WAVE, the police department, the schools. Sandy was there for fire and EMS. And they talked a lot about their programs for post-intervention, and I'm going to say it wrong. Postvention, which was dealing with an after-the-fact if an emergency occurred. They are dealing with suicide response with alcohol and substance abuse. They have wellness services now. They are 24-hour service now. They are working better, from what I understand, with the new DA and are able to get some alcohol violation convictions, which they have seen as beneficial. They've also offered the Assembly a tour of their facilities if we want to do that and to be able to explain what services they provide to us. And I think that would be interesting to do at some point. But I also wanted to pass along that they made the point of saying that John Hogue has been invaluable to them for his work, particularly with victims of domestic violence, and I wanted to acknowledge that. So.
Thanks, Cindy. Thanks for your help, John. Any more assembly discussion items? I would entertain a motion then to move into executive session, and the executive session is to go over the borough manager's performance evaluation. So we'll take a 10-minute break, and after we get a motion to do so.
So we'll...
Okay.